Welcome to another Marvel podcast. I'm Drew Gretsch.
And I'm Alex Edwards.
And we're back from hiatus, finally, after literally a month since Multiverse Madness came out.
Crazy.
We are talking, we're catching up on the Marvel news, one big thing in particular. But we're mostly here to talk about the series premiere of Ms. Marvel. And that'll be like the second half of the show, but we're talking about season one, episode one, Generation Y. But I mean, honestly, just because we start off with just one sentence thing on Ms. Marvel, and then we'll come back to it later. I absolutely loved this first episode. I absolutely loved it. I really was not... I mean, you guys can go back and listen to the trailer breakdown that I did with Michael like 3 months ago. I was really not that excited for the show. And this first episode just blew me away. In every way conceivable. I really, really loved it. But like, Alex, just what were your like first like one sentence thoughts on Ms. Marvel, and we'll come back to it later on.
So I was pretty excited, but like not super excited because I kind of forgot that it came out. Mm-hmm. And then I saw like a TikTok edit and I was like, oh, I should watch it.
Yeah.
And and I was also shocked at how good it was. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I mean also it was exciting because it was the first time, yesterday was the first time we got, like, two premium Disney Plus shows on the same day. Because we had episode 4 of Kenobi, which the review is coming out on Friday on Tuscan Radio. But our first reaction's up now. And then we also had the series premiere of Ms. Marvel, and I'm also excited because, I mean, we have that for 2 more weeks until the Kenobi finale on June 22nd. And then there's going to be, like, I think 6 weeks? Six weeks or so of overlap between She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, and Andor, which is awesome. And actually, no, yeah, we do have a She-Hulk thing, because we have not talked, I've literally not done a podcast in like a month for AMP, so we have not talked about the Thor trailers, we have not talked about the She-Hulk trailer, so I guess we'll just talk about those now. But yeah, She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, is coming to Disney Plus Wednesday, August 17th. And actually, the week before that is I Am Groot. They announced that I Am Groot is coming to Disney Plus on August 10th. So yeah, I wonder if I Am Groot is going to be weekly. I think it'll be all at once. I feel like it's going to be all at once just because they're shorts.
Right.
James Gunn says like it's not a part of the Guardian saga. I'm not sure if that means it's not canon. Like, if we see Groot, like, teaming up with Iron Man, then we know it's not canon. But I don't really see that happening. I have a feeling it'll be like, Baby Groot needs to get some milk. And Baby Groot's going to get some milk, and it's going to be expired, and he's going to drink it anyway and get sick. I don't know. That'll probably be what it is.
Feel like stupid little.
But it is James Gunn. It is James Gunn, and he would do something like that. I mean, I think James Gunn is fantastic. But yeah, but She-Hulk, you saw the She-Hulk trailer.
I did.
What did you think of the She-Hulk trailer?
Okay, so I think it'll be like an interesting show. Mm-hmm. I think it looks like it'll be fun and like a good show. I agree with most people when they say that the visual effects, but it's not even exactly the visual effects, because like Hulk looks good in the trailer, but it's like as She-Hulk that her design is just weird. Like that made her look super slim instead of, I don't know. It just like,
well, okay, so here's the thing with that. And also I'm really glad that like they're keeping that side of She-Hulk. Like I love it in the trailer where she's like picking up her date and they're walking to the bedroom. I thought that was hilarious. Because yeah. I'm glad that they're keeping that more, I guess, promiscuous side of the character. That's like really integral to the comics. But in regards to the visual effects, when they put up the landing page for She-Hulk on Disney Plus, because like when you go to Disney Plus now, you can type in She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, and you'll get something, and it'll have the trailer there.
Yeah.
And they have actually updated the trailer there a bit. So it looks better. Like, I think that'll probably end up being how it looks. But it does still look a little bit off. And that's because of the uncanny valley nature of the character. Because when you have Hulk is a monster. Hulk is a monster. So, like, the visual effects on Hulk don't look bad because we're not seeing a person, we're seeing a monster. And you can say what you will about the character, but, like, Hulk and Bruce Banner, to me, have always been separate up until, like, Endgame. And Hulk was a monster to that point. Where She-Hulk, where Jennifer Walters, is a woman who is essentially just bigger and green. And that, there is like an uncanny valley where it doesn't look quite right. So that's, I think, the big thing there. Is just like, because we're essentially, like, our eyes are just seeing a green woman. And, like, we're not used to seeing a green woman. You know?
I feel like also, I mean, I don't know how much of a part that plays because, like, Gamora looks...
Well, Gamora, that's all makeup.
Yeah, but, like, they still had a... I don't know. They still put, like, a... Completely covered her face and stuff.
Yeah, but...
So I feel like it's just, like, a mask with She-Hulk. I mean, it's not a physical mask, but it's, like, a CG mask with She-Hulk. I feel like they could have done... They could have done something to make it look just a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, this is still TV budget.
Yeah.
Like... And the other thing is, people will say that this season of a show costs the same as a movie. But when you break that up by, like, a per-minute basis, it's, like, a third of the budget.
Right.
Because you have, like, a six-hour show. In Disney Plus case, it's 4 hours.
Yeah.
Because the episodes are so short for no reason at all. And it's actually not that true anymore. Like, they've been doing the longer episodes, which I really appreciate. But... If it's a six-hour series, and you have the same budget as a two-hour movie, you have a third of the budget for each episode. So, it's not exactly a movie. It's still not movie quality. Now, Lord of the Rings is movie quality because that's like $450 million on 8 episodes, which I can't wait for that show. So She-Hulk, Attorney at Law, streaming August 17th. 9 episodes. Thank God it's 9 episodes. I'm so tired of 6. I think it's like October 12th is the season finale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We heard 10. It's 9 now. So, yeah. Maybe they just put 2 scripts into one, or they decided one episode's not
great. WandaVision was supposed to be 10.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
What was the other episode?
I mean, that's why the finale was so bad.
Yeah. Well, I think the big problem with me, for me, for the WandaVision finale was just, like, it didn't fit the show. Like,
It was supposed to be 10 episodes, but then it got cut short because of COVID, and then they couldn't edit everything.
Mm.
There was a more storyline with Ralph Boner.
Well... I remember that, but that was just more like...
And when it was supposed to be more stuff with Agatha and, like, the Darkhold.
Well, that'll probably be revealed in House of Harkness.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, we are still, like, in kind of spoiler mode for Multiverse of Madness because it's coming to Disney Plus on June 22nd, and our whole thing with spoilers...
It's my mom's birthday.
Well, you guys can celebrate by watching Multiverse of Madness again.
She hasn't watched it.
Well,
she doesn't watch Wanda.
And our spoiler policy on the podcast, especially because it's still, like, in the last, like, waning days of COVID. But still, like, people do not go out to theaters, like, in the numbers that they used to. Although, like, Top Gun is doing fantastic. Jurassic World's going to do great this weekend. But, you know, we just don't want to spoil things if people haven't seen it yet. So once it's on Disney Plus, that's when we'll, like, drop the spoiler warnings and things. But, like, in regards to Wanda, I've been saying this for a month now. I was not a big Wanda fan, because Wanda stans kind of ruined... Not because of you, just, like, Wanda stans in general kind of, like, ruined the character for me. But
they grew the character for me.
She was great in this movie, and I'm a Wanda fan after Multiverse Madness.
I've always been a Wanda fan ever since.
Yeah. So we also had the Thor trailer, which we have not talked about. So Thor comes... tickets go on sale Monday. for Thor Love
and Thunder. Yeah,
I'm not going to be in town that weekend.
It's July 8th, right?
Yeah, July 8th. So I got Michael to come on the podcast. He's going to do the he's going to do our Ms. Marvel episode 5 review. And you can join him for that if you want to. That'll be July 6th. Yeah, July 6th. And then he's also going to do the right out of theater reaction for Thor 4. And then I'll be back to do the full, like, 2 hour long review. I can't wait for this movie.
I'm very excited.
Gore in this most recent trailer was terrifying. He was, like, Christian Bale. Christian Bale swore after I do, because he was Batman in the Dark Knight trilogy. He's been saying since then, I will never do another comic book movie. And he's doing this one. He's playing the villain. He's look at the image right here. He's been in the makeup chair for like hours a day. And I'm
terrifying.
And people are like, he doesn't look like the comics. He doesn't look like that. His character design is bad. Okay.
It still looks good. Like, it still looks cool.
And Morbius's design was fantastic. The movie was still absolute shit, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the design was great, but the movie was awful. By the way, Morbius was released in theaters again last weekend.
And did it only make, like...
It made $300,000. Which, look...
Cost less than a house.
Sony did not put this back in theaters to turn a profit. Because if that were the case, they would have promoted the re-release. No, Sony never even... I don't think they ever, like, sent out a tweet about it.
Yeah.
It was just a thing that some people want to... I'd not go to it, but... I've seen Morbius twice in theaters, unfortunately.
Why?
Because Yvonne and I went, I think, a few days after it came out. Theater was completely empty. We had it all to ourselves. It was hilarious. And then I went again with... And because Michael and Ben and I were bored, and we wanted to go see it. So Michael's like, I'll pay for it. And I'm like, okay, you can pay for 3 tickets to Morbius. So I saw it again for free. Essentially. Thank you, Michael. But yeah, I mean, character design, it doesn't change if the movie's good or bad or not.
Exactly.
And
like, all of the characters and designs pretty much in Phase 4 have all...
Oh my god, they've all been great.
Amazing.
But yeah.
Phase 4 has not been...
Phase 4, and I was talking with Nick a few weeks ago, because we saw Nick. Who, again, started this podcast, started the show, and then passed off to me. I'm grateful for that. But, you know, I've at least liked everything in Phase 4. Some things I've loved, but, I mean, I thought Hawkeye was okay. Mm-hmm. It was okay. It's not as bad as I said, like,
I love Kate originally.
Kate Bishop was great. Oh, by the way, did you see that in the credits for Ms. Marvel? Someone was credited as hairstylist to Ms. Steinfeld.
Oh.
Now, it could be just like they copy and pasted the format of the credits from the Hawkeye series and they forgot to edit it out because...
Or maybe it was a different Ms. Steinfeld.
Yeah. But you only really have that for like actors and things. And IMDb doesn't show anyone with the last name Steinfeld. I mean, but regardless...
What is Haley's song? What is it? It's like...
I have no idea.
It's something really... Not good. Never mind. I'm not even
But yeah, I mean, like,
super popular, though.
I've enjoyed Phase 4 so far in terms of the individual project.
Yeah.
In terms of the individual project, but as a whole, I have no idea what's happening. I have no idea. But I mean, look, this could just be a reset phase. And Phase 5...
A reset phase with more content than all the
any
first
other
three
phase,
phases
yeah. I mean,
combined.
Ms. Marvel is the 12th project in Phase 4. Phase 3 had 11, and Phase 1 and 2 each had 6.
Yeah.
I mean, there... One comparison that I heard a few weeks ago now was, it's like they've dumped out a... It's like they've dumped out a puzzle onto a table, and we're looking at all the pieces, but we don't yet see how they connect.
Yeah.
And they're going to connect.
That's a good...
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll look back at phase four. And also, this may be just because we got No Way Home and Multiverse Madness back to back. I'm kind of already tired of Multiverse.
Yeah.
And if that's the next big thing, that's going to be a big problem. Especially with, I mean, Marvel's not the only one doing Multiverse right now.
I mean, Everything Everywhere All at Once. I still need to see that movie. It's fantastic. Because I'm not old enough to go, so...
I feel like it's on digital now, I think.
It's on On Demand.
Yeah, that's why I watched it.
I'm going to watch it today, probably.
You can buy it now for $20. It's wonderful. So that did the multiverse, and did the multiverse really well. You know, apart from Marvel... Like, apart from Marvel Studios, but still in Marvel, we have the next two Spider-Verse movies, which can't wait for those. Mm-hmm. First one was still the greatest comic book movie of all time, in my opinion. We have the Sony-verse, where Madame Web is out next year, and that is a multiverse movie also. We also, in the superhero realm, we have The Flash next year, which has... Which is bringing back with the Michael Keaton Batman through the multiverse.
It's a lot of DC and Sony.
not technically, multiverse, but we do still have the Joker movies and the Matt Reeves Batman movies, which are multiverse in nature because they're, like, sort of like the what-ifs, mm-hmm. you know? But, I mean, I love both those films. So, yeah, there's... And Umbrella Academy is back, like, in 2 weeks, and...
I still need to watch that show.
They've, like, messed with the timeline a bit in season two, so they're kind of in, like, an alternate timeline now. There's just so much multiverse, and it's multiverse burnout.
Before it started becoming so popular, it was really interesting and, like, cool, but now...
But now it's...
And that's why I want to watch Everything Everywhere All at Once, because I've heard that it, like, did a really good take on the multiverse.
Yeah. There was one shot in the trailer that I really loved. It was this shot right here of Thor, Chris Hemsworth, standing in front of Zeus, played by Russell Crowe. And if you zoom in on his back, up from the pixelated ass, this isn't a very good image, but... Here it is. He has a Loki tattoo.
Yeah. He has R.I.P. a Loki. Loki.
Rip Loki. Love that. Yeah. I mean, Hemsworth was probably like... trying to say this out. It's sounding dirty. But because in the first trailer you saw, like, there's like the giant with the chains on. He was like moving, like whipping the chains around. I don't remember what that's called. Like, with the ropes in the gym. But, like, yeah, Hemsworth, it looks like he was doing that for hours and hours for, like, 3 years.
Yeah.
To lose the bro Thor look. Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to see the Guardians back in this movie.
Yeah, I wasn't super excited for this movie until the trailer started coming out.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's just Taika Waititi. You know, I mean... I also tweeted this out a little bit ago. There was, so Taika was saying, like, I think that Christian Bale as Gore the God Butcher is the greatest villain Marvel's ever had. Breaking news, director praises their own movie.
Yeah.
But that's still a bold statement.
Right.
You know, because you have, I mean, in terms of villains, you have, I mean, Loki. You have Killmonger, you have Thanos, you have Wenwu from Shang-Chi. Like, that's an insanely... And I guess it's kind of still up in the air, but you kind of have Wilson Fisk, Kingpin. I mean, if we're going by the Kingpin we saw in Hawkeye, then no. But if we're counting Daredevil's canon, then yeah, Kingpin's on that list too. But
Wanda...
Nah.
Hela.
No, not Hela. Not Hela.
Hela was... Surtur. Yes. Obadiah Stane.
Obadiah Stane. Tony Stark was able to build this in a cave with a box of scraps. Who else? Milo from Morbius.
I will never watch that movie. I'm sorry.
Watch it on Netflix. Don't spend money on it.
I'm not even going to watch it on Netflix. Funny. I'm not wasting my time.
It's horrible, but it's...
Do you want me to watch Morbius before I watch Daredevil?
No, I don't. Watch Daredevil first. It's actually a great segue, because speaking of Daredevil, we have an exclusive from Variety. This was a little bit ago, so you guys have probably heard this news. Daredevil Disney Plus series is in the works with Matt Corman and Chris Ord set to write the series. So here, I'm going to read the original report directly from Variety. A new Daredevil series is moving forward at Disney Plus, with Variety having exclusively learned from sources that Matt Corman and Chris Ord are attached to write and executive produce. Rumors have persisted for some time that a Disney Plus series about the Man Without Fear was in the works, especially considering that two of the stars of the Netflix Daredevil series, Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio, have appeared in recent Marvel projects. Cox once again played Matt Murdock, the secret identity of Daredevil, in the film Spider-Man No Way Home, while D'Onofrio reprised his role of Wilson Fisk, Kingpin, in Hawkeye. It now appears that the project is picking up steam with the hiring of Corman and Ord, although Marvel has yet to announce anything regarding the show formally. So there's nothing really in here that indicates returning of Charlie Cox or Vincent D'Onofrio. But, I mean, we just saw both of them last year, within a week of each other.
Oh, I forgot. That was so close, yeah.
Now, they're definitely both... At least Charlie Cox is definitely in the show. I mean, I don't think that Kingpin's dead after Hawkeye. Because, I mean...
Well, Echo is such a girl boss that I think...
She didn't do anything in the show! I have no interest whatsoever in the Echo series, which is filming now. I have no interest in it whatsoever, because they did not do the work in Hawkeye to establish her as interesting.
I think she's interesting.
Why? Why is she interesting?
Because she's a girl boss. Okay, I don't know why. I think it'll be an okay show.
I mean, I'm going to watch it. We have the podcast.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey, maybe it'll be the best thing that Marvel's ever produced, which actually right now, Ms. Marvel is the highest rated Marvel project of all time.
Isn't it 97%?
Last I checked, yeah, let's check the Rotten Tomatoes right here. Ms. Marvel.
His Rotten Tomatoes bookmarked.
No, I don't. It's not bookmarked. It's just like there because I go to it a lot. Okay, so it's dropped down to 95, which is the highest rated of the MCU shows on Disney Plus.
It's the second highest.
It's tied with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that's not canon.
Really?
I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. also had 7 seasons.
Yeah.
And I do love S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's not canon.
I started rewatching it again. And I stopped after season 2 because I cried too many times.
Mm. But Ms. Marvel is the highest rated MCU project, I think. Or it might be 1%.
It's not over yet, though.
It's 1% lower than Black Panther. Yeah, I mean, that's the good point. It's not... We're one episode in. But usually at this point, the bulk of the reviews are in, and any future reviews will be for individual episodes.
Mm.
Like, there will be some that will impact this 95%, but... I don't see it dropping too much. It could, but I don't think it's going to. And again, remember, all the Disney Plus shows started strong.
Right.
Except for Hawkeye, in my opinion. And also WandaVision. WandaVision took to like episode 4 for me.
I was immediately intrigued in episode 1.
Yeah, but like, I didn't think WandaVision had a great episode until episode 4. Like, WandaVision was a bit of a slow burn. Hawkeye was...
Episode 3 was good.
Episode 3 was good, but, like...
I mean, episode 4 was exciting because they finally, like...
They really got some answers.
Yeah, but... I thought the whole mystery part of it...
Oh, yeah, that
like,
that
not knowing what was happening.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, but Falcon and Soldier started off really strong and went down in the finale. Loki, I thought, was consistently good. Moon Knight.
I still sometimes rewatch the, like, old Loki, classic Loki building Asgard.
Oh my god,
that's
great.
Yeah.
I thought Moon Knight, the first 5 episodes of that show were phenomenal. And then episode 6 was good, but not great.
Mm-hmm.
So this show could go to hell in the next 5 episodes. It could. I don't think it's going to go. And that's the other thing. As much as I love Daredevil, as much as I love the Netflix series, I'm more worried than I am excited for the show. This is the one time where I'm not going to say, in Feige we trust. Because as far as we've seen, other than WandaVision, they do not know how to make TV shows. They're giving these shows the plot of a movie and then extending it, putting in so much extra filler.
Right.
And it should not be 6 episodes. She-Hulk, I'm excited because I think it's actually going to feel like a TV show. Yeah. It's gonna have 9 episodes. It's gonna be episodic. It's gonna be more serialized, like how WandaVision was. You cannot do WandaVision as a movie. You can do Falcon and Soldier as a movie. You can do Loki as a movie. You can do Hawkeye, Moon Knight, probably Ms. Marvel as a movie. We haven't seen yet. If it's announced that this Daredevil series is 6 episodes, I don't want to say that I will have lost all faith in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they could still announce that, like, Stephen S. DeKnight and Drew Goddard are coming back to work on this series. But if it's these guys, and they have some good stuff on their resume. What have they done? They've done Covert Affairs, The Enemy Within, The Brave, Containment. I've not seen any of these shows, but, I mean, they've worked on things before that I'm sure are good, and that's why Marvel chose to work with them for Daredevil. But if this is just 6 episodes, I know I'm probably going to be disappointed in it.
Bring in Joss Whedon.
No, do not bring in Joss Whedon. Do not bring in Joss Whedon.
What about Jed Whedon?
I feel like Jed Whedon would be fine, but I feel like
Marissa Tantrum.
Her husband directed an episode of Book of Boba Fett. So, like, they are working. I mean, the episode
Marissa, wasn't... Isn't Marissa married to Jed?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I said they brought her husband in to do an episode of Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, okay. Their kid is so cute.
I have not seen images of their baby. But, I mean, I don't think that they should have closed Marvel Television. Like, I think that it's fine that they ended all the shows. I mean, I'm kind of sad about it, 1 or 2 of them. Like, I would... Well, no, because...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was over.
That was not canceled. They already had their ending planned out before they were canceled.
Yeah.
Actually, they thought they were going to be canceled for season 5.
I know.
And they like, wrote their finale in there. And then ABC was like, hey, you're getting 2 more seasons? You're going to get 2 more seasons... And season 6 sucked.
Yeah.
And season 7 was great. So, yeah. I don't think that they should have fired Jeff Loeb. I don't think they should have fired any of those other people. Because...
Jeff Loeb?
I don't know why you're crying. Are you crying about, like, the allegations that were said about him? They're like, no one...
I just love his name.
They're like, no one else could corroborate. And I'm not saying that they're not true, but they're also, like... Like, most people quote those out of context.
I haven't heard of any of this.
Okay. Let me tell us, like, 2 years ago. No,
I think his name is funny.
The guy who played, what was his name? The ninja in Daredevil. Oh my god, what was his name? Ninja. I need to Google it. As soon as I see it, it's gonna kill me. Like, Nobu. The actor who played Nobu... said something along the lines of, like, you know, I wanted to have a bigger role in Daredevil. And he had a fairly big role in the first 2 seasons. But I was told by someone who heard from someone else in the board meeting that Jeff Loeb insinuated that people don't want to see Asian, that people would rather not have seen Asian stories. I don't think that's true that he said that because I mean, no, and that's just something like, he just said like Jeff Loeb denied giving him like a bigger role because he served his purpose. Like the season that he was part of the most in season two is the worst of the three seasons. Not because of like that, just like because the ninjas, it was kind of a little bit far-fetched. But I mean, I don't think that there was any real like merit to that. Like there is definitely some, but I don't know. I feel that like in Daredevil, it's different, I guess. Like then in Iron Fist, it was definitely like the whitewashing. That was definitely their Iron Fist.
But I haven't watched.
Good. That, so. Do not watch Iron Fist. Actually, season two. It was there in season one. It was less there in season two because Colleen Wing became the Iron Fist at the end, and she's great in that. She's great in that because Danny Rand is just boring. He's just a boring character. And there was also just like so much other wonderful diversity and Asian stories in the other Marvel shows for Marvel Television that like. What the actor said is not, it doesn't line up with the stories we got in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., in Runaways.
Yeah.
You know, it, yeah, okay. Point being said, they need to hire people who know how to do TV shows and not stretch out movies. That's that was how I got off on that tangent. Exactly. And I just kept digging myself into a bad hole. So yeah, Daredevil series, you don't know when it's coming out. You don't know when exactly it's coming out, but probably 2024 is my guess. I don't know, because I think we've heard it's supposed to start shooting next year also. But those rumors are not as legitimate as others. The other thing, Hawkeye was resubmitted for your consideration for the Emmys this year. It was being submitted as a limited series, and now it's being sent in as a comedy series.
Mm.
So, yeah, so the Emmys, we have Loki being
submitted. Season two.
I hope not. Loki is being submitted as a drama series. Hawkeye as a comedy series, and Moon Knight as a limited series. So there will not be a Moon Knight season two. Because they can't do that.
Right.
But
they could, like, make a Moon Knight movie.
You could do a Moon Knight movie. You could do a Moon Knight sequel series.
Yeah.
But you cannot call it Moon Knight Season 2. Like, I think on the Disney Plus, it would have to be, like, Moon Knight, I don't know, I'm gonna moon everybody. I don't know. It had to be called that. Like season one. You know, it had to be that show.
Well, I mean, wouldn't them just making a season two, wouldn't that just like make it so they couldn't do an Emmy? Or. Because, like, I feel like that's.
I'm not sure what the rules are. I'm sure.
But, it wouldn't affect anything else, right? It would just make it so that season can't win awards.
Well, the thing with a limited series, if it wins the. If it wins, I think it's different than if it just nominated and doesn't win anything. Which, I think the show is going to win some form of, like, limited series Emmy. Like, maybe not best limited series, but it's going to win something in the limited series category. Because I thought that the show was fantastic. But if they didn't win anything, I think then they could do a season two.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, Hawkeye season two could be coming soon. Hope it's better than season one. This is really what I have to say. Just because that.
I don't remember anything from Hawkeye other than like Kate's house burning. And then there was like the random fight with Kate. Yelena, Hawkeye, and Echo on the rooftop. And then, like, Yelena just dumps off at the roof or something.
Exactly. Like, because Hawkeye should have been a movie. An Eternal should have been a Disney Plus series. They should have switched places.
Yeah.
They came out, like, 3 weeks apart. Like, I don't know why Hawkeye didn't get a movie and Eternals wasn't on Disney Plus. Like, that just mind boggles. That boggles the mind, as George Lucas would say.
Boggles the mind.
Kind of boggles the mind. So, it also looks like we're getting a Black Panther trailer on Friday during an NBA playoff game. Yeah, so that's super exciting. In regards to Black Panther Wakanda Forever, I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I hope Okoye.
I trust Ryan Coogler a lot. He did a great job with the first movie. Again, the reason why the first Black Panther is not in my top 10 for the MCU is because I don't think it's very rewatchable. Like,
yeah.
You can watch, because, like, that's super important because I'm someone who watched these movies multiple times. Black Panther, I don't think you can watch them more than 3 or 4 times. Whereas Homecoming, No Way Home, Winter Soldier, Shang-Chi, those movies you can watch again and again and again and again. So that's, I mean, I still like Black Panther. I just don't think it's top 10 Marvel. And honestly, my top 10 Marvel right now is fairly set in stone. Like, anything breaking my top 10, because there are so many movies now. It's so hard for anything to, like...
Right. My favorite time at Marvel was, like, Black Panther Civil War area.
Like, in terms of the timeline?
Well, because timeline, but that's also when I started watching Marvel, so...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would love the era, like, 4 years ago. Where, like, Infinity War had just come out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was, I think, my favorite era of the MCU. But honestly, like, just towards the end of the Infinity Saga, you could feel the hype building for Infinity War.
So true.
And I think Infinity War... I think it's my number 6 movie, because my top 5 are No Way Home, Homecoming. I know it's controversial, but that it's Homecoming. It's my number 2. Winter Soldier, Shang-Chi, Guardians, and then Infinity War. So, yeah. I think Infinity War is better than Endgame. I know that's not necessarily a hot take, you know? Mm-hmm. I think Infinity War is a better movie, but Endgame is just more fun.
I don't like ranking the movies...
I don't either, because, like, if you don't have something in your top 10, it's like, why did you hate it?
Yeah.
Really? Because my number 10 is, like, Avengers 1, and that's a fantastic movie.
Right.
Like, yeah. And that's also why I stopped, like, giving things, like, number ratings, because if I give it below a 9, people are like, why did you hate it? Why did you hate it?
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
Because people... feel more like
we
grades.
We live in a world where something's either 10 out of 10 or 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's the world we live in. There is no middle ground. You either absolutely love it or you absolutely hate it.
You love it or you hate it.
Like,
I feel like I say that too much. You either love it or you hate it.
I definitely say that too much, but I say
that. And then I say it, but it's not true at all, because I'll be like, yeah, you either love it or you hate it. But like, I'm kind of on the fence, you know? I kind of...
Depends on the day. Depends on the mood. And then, so, I feel like that's the bulk of the important news from the last month. Let's talk about the series premiere for Ms. Marvel. We are going to get into full spoilers for episode 1. Full spoilers for episode 1 are coming. So if you've not seen the first episode of Ms. Marvel, Generation Y, which I love that title, by the way.
Yeah.
Leave and then come back. But again, it's been out for like over 36 hours at this point. So, I'm just going to get right into it. I already said this. I love this first episode.
Is Generation Y millennials?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, this doesn't make sense because they're Gen Z. Like, we're the same age as them.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. I was watching the trailer And I felt like I maybe wouldn't relate to this character as much. But just watching it, I instantly related to her immediately. And I feel like a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Because the fact that she is a Muslim girl in Jersey City, I don't think it really matters. Because, and that's what I really love about, you know, storytelling, particularly like these more like coming of age stories in the MCU. We all have had these struggles.
Yeah.
Like whether you're Peter Parker trying to like balance your time, or Kamala Khan like having strict parents. I just instantly fell in love with her whole family.
Yeah.
I
felt so bad for her dad.
My favorite line I've seen in anything for a while, for anything recent at least. Anything recent, at least. Was after the driver's test, when she was doing it with the... and that the driver, the instructor, was the teacher from Stranger Things. I'm like, he looks familiar. I'm like, I wanted to say that was Mr. Harrington from Homecoming. I'm like, no, he's already been in the MCU.
The teacher from Homecoming?
No, it wasn't him. But, like, the teacher from Stranger Things... Like, the science teacher, that was the driver's instructor.
Oh, so it was, yeah. Like,
Randy Havens or something.
He looks like the one...
Is that his name? Yeah, it's Randy Havens. He was the driving instructor. But my favorite line from anything, like, in the last little bit was after the driver's test. And the mother goes, you set her up to... You set her up for failure. She was going to be on the road with all the other cars out. I love that line so much. It, again, just instantly relatable. Love the struggle with, like, the parents and things and trying to get them to understand, which is a struggle that I definitely have a lot, and I'm sure you do too.
Yeah.
Another thing I really love, just, like, Iman Vellani.
This is her first
acting. This is her first ever acting thing. I don't think there is any actor in the MCU suited more for their character than Iman Vellani.
Yeah.
She is Kamala Khan. She has been for years.
Yeah, because she is, like, her favorite character since she was, like...
I'm not sure if you read this, but she did an interview today where she said, the only reason I auditioned was to meet people from Marvel. I didn't even want the part. I just wanted to meet them.
I love that.
When Multiverse of Madness came out, slight spoilers here, but there is something in the film... that identifies the main MCU timeline as Earth 616.
Oh, yeah.
And Iman, she texted Kevin Feige, and she's like, Kevin, we've had this argument before. This is not Earth 616. This is Earth 199999.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, like, the universe designation for the MCU, like, 6 or 7 years ago.
The thing is, I feel like the comics are just a whole different multiverse, because there's...
Yeah.
It's like... I mean, there can be two Earth 616s, though.
Yeah, it just doesn't... It doesn't matter. You know?
No, I just feel like I'm okay with the MCU being 616.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care all that much. I mean, again, the thing in the movie that I'm not going to spoil in case someone hasn't seen it yet... Is it's not like the Watcher or the TVA saying it's 616. It's a very earthly being who's saying it's 616.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, the person who designates it as 616 is not even a superhero.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, that's basically just what that is. I don't really care. It's an argument for another time. I love the visual style of the series.
Yes. The visual. I thought it was so cool how they were, like, when they were texting and it was, like, showing up God. In the background. Like, I kind of looked for it.
I was watching the John Campia Ms. Marvel after show this morning. And the comparison that he said was, like, imagine if John Hughes directed My Big Fat Greek Wedding. Have you seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
I have not seen My Big Fat
Greek. Have you seen any John Hughes movie?
No.
Okay. So then you wouldn't get that. But for those of you who have seen John Hughes movies, for those of you who have seen My Big Fat Greek Wedding, you totally get that. Like, because in terms of my... Because John Hughes directs a lot of, like, high school movies, that sort of thing. What's he directed? I think I know one thing he's directed. He wrote Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh.
Which is classic, Chicago classic.
Chicago classic, yeah.
He wrote Home Alone. He actually wrote all the Home Alone movies, it looks like. Right? Might not be accurate. No, just the characters. Did he do Breakfast Club? Did he do Breakfast Club? I don't want to like say that and then it not be... Yeah, he did. He wrote Breakfast Club. So he wrote like all the great like high school movies. So I have seen. Yeah. And then My Big Fat Greek Wedding is basically... It's been years since I've seen it, but it's basically like... a wedding. And everyone there is Greek, and they're super, super Greek.
Yeah.
I'm... Like, being Italian is like... It's kind of the same thing, but, you know, a little bit. Yeah, because I also really just think no Marvel property has ever been ripped from the pages of the comic book more than this has.
Yeah.
I loved a lot of the stuff at Avengers Con.
Iman Vellani stole a bunch from set. Stole a bunch of the, like, souvenirs from set.
I'm not surprised.
From...
But, like, they all do that, so really, like, how much did
she... But she's still, like, Funko Pops from the Avengers Con set.
I mean, I do the same thing. I loved Mr. Tree. I loved all the Mr. Tree stuff. Like, not... It was, like, one shirt that they go by for, like, a second, and it's, like, Mr... And there's, like, a shirt for Groot, and it's
Mr. Tree,
because they don't... They, Groot never really talked to them, but it's funny because he never says his own name.
Yeah, I love how they had so many souvenirs just like
there was
in the real world.
There was a DVD for a documentary. It was like the life of Starboy. Star-Lord. I love that. One thing surprised me is there were a couple of Gamora cosplayers there.
Yeah.
Gamora was literally there for, like, 5 minutes.
Right.
And then left.
And, like... They didn't even see her. They would have had to do the cosplay from Scott's, like, retelling on his podcast.
There's only one person who could be his co-host. Luis.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I thought...
Like, I kind of want the MCU, and I was saying to you, Alex, before the show, is the Boys Season 3 is coming out right now. There's an episode 9, I cannot wait for it. The Boys is, I mean, in my opinion, the best show on TV right now. And there is no Disney Plus miniseries that's ever going to top that because they're only one season.
Mm-hmm.
A show, to me, really needs to grow and evolve across multiple years. To be considered, for me to at least to consider it as a top show of all time.
Right.
Like, really loving Kenobi right now. That's not going to be on that list. Unless there's a season 2. But Mando's on the list because season 3 is out in February. But anyway, I think that The Boys is a really interesting companion piece to Ms. Marvel. Mm-hmm. Because they're both, like, parodies. They're both parodies. But The Boys is, like, imagine a world of superheroes, but they're all dicks.
Yeah.
Like, they're all terrible people. And it's like, oh, no, that's exactly how superheroes would be in the real world.
Exactly.
Like, they've been given too much, like, they would have been given too much power. And that's what would happen. And
Sokovia,
it's, it's a very, like, parodical series. And this show parodies the Marvel fan base so much, and I love it. It's so funny.
It's amazing.
I'm not sure, but one of the souvenirs at Avengers Con, they have some toys from Ant-Man and the Wasp, and they're like actual toys from our universe.
And they say, like, so much stuff in there. It's just, like, stuff from... Yeah, just, like, stuff from our universe.
It was funny. Like, I'm like, oh, I guess Marvel in this universe... Like, I'm sure the company Marvel exists.
Yeah.
But they're probably, like, Vought in the Boys universe. Except that Marvel here wouldn't necessarily, like, control the superheroes and things.
Right.
You know? Which, if that's true...
It would just be, they would just, like, make documentaries about
that. About what actually happened. And with this reveal of Marvel actually being something in-universe for the MCU, the reports about seeing Kevin Feige pop up in She-Hulk make a lot more sense now.
What if he gets sued for, like, making movies that, like, are insensitive or something?
That would be wonderful. I would love that. Because, I mean, I really don't think that there should be anyone in the MCU that, like, breaks the fourth wall other than Deadpool. Yeah. I think he should be the only one. But She-Hulk in the comics does do that a bit. This would be a great way for her to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
He's like,
Feige is being sued in the MCU. I mean, he just popped up in Marvel Comics, like, a year ago during the X-Men, like, Hellfire Gala. He like, turns to Cyclops and he's like, so, what's your story? So, she already exists in that universe, in that multiverse. So, I mean, really, what's stopping from this one? Did you see the post-credit scene?
Yeah. Who are those people?
So that was Agent Cleary. They're from he's from the Department of Damage Control. We saw him in No Way Home.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, that's the guy, because I've seen the movie like 10 times.
Right.
So, yeah, he's gonna be a big part of the series, it looks like. I wonder if we can maybe get some answers about Peter Parker.
But, like, what did he do in No Way Home?
He was the guy at the beginning who, like, he was only in the first, like, 10 minutes of the movie. He was the guy who was, like, interrogating Peter, MJ, Ned, and
Matt.
He's like, dude, come on. Like, half my guys are guys in the chair.
Yeah.
That's my favorite lines of the whole movie. And I would like to have my words stricken from the record. I love that so much. It's so good. So... Avengers Con, I thought was hilarious. I think my favorite scene, though, from an emotional standpoint, and this is also the most, I think, relatable thing in this series, in this first episode, when the mom comes in with the costumes, and then her father comes in with... And he's like, he's got the makeup. And, like, he doesn't want to do it. You can tell he doesn't want to do it. Yeah, but he has to. And the teenager says something stupid.
I was so mad. But then I realized, I was like, I'd probably act that way.
Oh, too. No. I 100% act that way all the time.
It's
you just say stupid stuff, like, constantly, especially on the show. So... Yeah, that to me is really just something, like, I just really love that. I really love that. And look, here's the thing. I get that this is not going to be a show for everybody.
Right.
It's like, if your favorite stuff is Marvel Netflix and the Batman and Moon Knight, it's probably not going to be for you.
Yeah.
But also those like are my favorite things. And I love this because one of the reasons why Spider-Man Homecoming is my number two MCU movie and it was my number one for a long time is because it shows us what is life like for the regular people in the MCU.
I love that so much. You have no idea. It's literally my favorite thing.
Yeah.
And seeing just regular people. Like, I had a whole era where I just wanted a show about, like, people, regular people getting blipped away and coming back. Like, I would have killed for a show.
Well, actually, speaking of that, Secret Invasion is said during the blip.
Yeah, like, I need that. I just need more scenes of the blip.
I don't think we need more scenes of the blip.
I need more scenes of the blip. I need at least a little short. Like,
I just want them to reference the blip. They did not reference the blip whatsoever here. You know?
Yeah.
And also, I feel like there should be some more, like, blame directed at the Avengers. And I hope that we see some of that later on in the series. Or hopefully in Secret Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Where people are, like, blaming the Avengers for what happened.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened in the Avengers Angel game. Zone. Like, in the Avengers game, you have, like, the Avengers try and stop this thing. And Ms. Marvel is a big part of that game.
Isn't Wanda in that game?
No. At least I don't think so. I actually only got through the first, like, 15 minutes of that game. It's really boring. It's not that fun to play. But
I'm only going to play Ms. Wanda. I didn't buy Wanda in Fortnite, though.
But the Avengers can't save everyone this one time. And
well, have they ever saved everyone?
No, but like, it was like literally like in like on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Uh-oh.
Where everything else is like overseas in different countries. And it's like classic Americans, we just don't really care unless it's in our own backyard. Although I do think like Ukraine has sort of like what's happening over there is it's not as true at this point in time. But in 2020 when this game came out, it was true.
I don't know. I feel like they're not, like there's a whole war going on. I'm not going to get into politics on this right now.
No,
I'm sorry.
No, but I mean, in 2020, I feel like people weren't really all that invested in the larger world outside of America.
I feel the opposite way, but
really,
yeah. I don't really want to
elaborate
on this part. I don't want to get into politics.
Okay,
though.
That's fine. Yeah. So. That was my favorite scene from this first episode. I think this show was a really strong start. Really strong start. This is everything that I loved about Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah. It's just like small.
It's self-contained.
Yeah.
And the other thing is this is more self-contained than Homecoming was because at that point, Peter Parker had already, like, gone to Germany with Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's technically an Avenger. He fought Captain America. So, from that standpoint, I like this more. Because this is someone whose life truly has been touched by the Avengers. And we get to see what that world is like. But also kind of, like, not. You know, and also the other super interesting thing here is the idea of religion. How does religion work in the MCU now with literal gods? Like, how, like,
I don't think many people, like, follow, like, ancient religions with gods in them. But,
well,
I mean, a god. Yeah. No, I don't know. I think, well, because all the superhero stuff is, like, relatively recent, you know?
Yeah.
Like, 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
But,
like, in the aftermath of the blip and stuff, like, I'm sure that caused a lot of people to lose faith.
There's probably a lot higher percentage of, like, agnostics in the MCU than in the real world.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, there would definitely be people who are like, you know, half the world died. And
then there are also going to be the people that are like, half the world died, God is punishing.
Yeah, so you have those people too.
Yeah, it'll like make some people's faith stronger probably, like.
Mm-hmm. Well, those people will always exist, and like there will, no matter how humanity progresses or what disasters befall the world, the same people that exist now will always exist.
Yeah.
People want to deny it, but it's true. The same people will always exist. You know?
Yeah.
And there's that great line in the first Avengers movie where Loki is in Stuttgart, which, by the way, I'm going to be in Stuttgart in, like, March. I'm super excited for. For, like, 2 weeks. So Loki is, like, standing above all these people. He has them kneel, and this one old man stands up. And he goes, "Not to men like you." And Loki replies, "There are no men like me. There are always men like you." And, like, that rings so true. Remember when Joss Whedon was, like, a good writer? Mm-hmm. He was a good writer for Firefly and Avengers 1.
Way downhill.
And then Age of Ultron was good. I really like Age of Ultron. I feel like it's gotten better through the years.
Mm-hmm.
Justice League, oh god.
Joss Whedon.
I don't need people to take screen grabs of the podcast of you.
Guys, don't take that out of context, please.
So, yeah. But, you know, in terms of review bombing and things, stop. to quote big corporations, just stop.
Just don't. Just don't.
That's all we're going to say is just don't. And also on IMDb, don't rate the series. Rate the episode. Don't rate the series based on one episode. And especially if, like, you have actual legitimate problems with the show. Like, if your problem is just, like, Disney's taking attention away from Catholic people. And I'm Catholic, so I feel like I can say that version of people. But, you know, that's not a legitimate reason to have a problem with the show.
Exactly.
Legitimate reason is based on, like, acting, writing, production design. But yeah, just don't write the series, write the episode if you have legitimate problems. So, yeah. It's at a 6.5 out of 10 right now on IMDb, which is not great.
How is it at that? I feel like 95 on Rotten
Tomatoes. Because Rotten Tomatoes, because critics on Rotten Tomatoes actually, like, think critically about things.
Yeah.
And aren't, like, and aren't racist about it.
Yeah.
And again, if you do have legitimate problems with the series, that's okay. You are allowed to have those opinions. But if there are people, and this just happened with Star Wars fanbase again with Moses Ingram, is people were, like, sending her the most racist and hate-filled messages ever. And I thought she was great, and then Ewan McGregor sent out a message just, like, just don't be racist. And people were like, ah! And they've been review bombing Kenobi, which I don't think Kenobi's been the best show ever, but I'm really liking it. It's at like a 58% on Rotten Tomatoes right now from the fans, which I think is ridiculous.
I haven't watched it yet.
You should.
I know. I've been falling behind on Star Wars stuff. I didn't watch Boba Fett either.
I liked Boba Fett a lot more than other people. A lot of people really did not like that show. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great, but I thought it was good.
I would watch it for Ming-Na Wen.
She was really good in it, but she's not in it a ton. There are, I think, like 3 or 4 episodes where she's in it a lot. And then the other, like, half of the show is, like, she's still there. Like, she's the only actress who's in all 7 episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I take it doesn't pet. I'm kidding. I'm gonna make a Bechdel test joke.
What joke?
A Bechdel test. You know the Bechdel test?
I think I do.
It's like, two women have to have a conversation with each other. Two named women with each other about something other than a man.
I don't think it... it might pass that. I don't know. It's not a very, like... It's not a show with, like, a huge scope.
Which is why it's, like, funny.
Infinity... No, Yeah, the...
I don't know.
It does pass it
because there's... Endgame or something.
Endgame, I don't think anyone would pass it because, like... I guess it would on technicality, but I'm also not a big fan. Like... I think that, like, the girl team-up scene, if that's what you want to call it, in Infinity War is much better than the one in Endgame. Because in Endgame, the way that it happens makes no sense. Like, it would make sense...
I thought it was such a girl boss scene, but it was really
it's just, like,
out of place.
I get it, but, like... Really?
Slay, but...
Like, she's the one who could get through all that without your help.
Yeah.
And also, what was Mantis going to do there? What's Mantis gonna do?
I love and looking also, in the background during the Battle of Earth and just seeing like the like Mantis is like on top of a monster, like just trying to make it sleep.
I think my favorite thing about whole final battle is right at the beginning when the Avengers are all running toward Thanos' horde. And Ant-Man just punches a sea turtle in the face.
Wait, you started calling them sea turtles too?
Yeah, because the podcast like 3 years ago when you were doing that.
Yeah, I love the sea turtles. Oh my god.
The sea turtles are what Alex's brother calls the Leviathans. But he just punches a Leviathan in the face. And whenever I watch Ennio, which actually has been a while, it's been a movie in a long time, but... Whenever that happens, I just start laughing. I think it's the best thing ever.
Yeah. Also, there is the whole part where, like, Ant-Man is still in the bag.
But then he's also, like, someone made a huge, like, Doctor Strange portal. And Ant-Man just, like, pushing it in. I guess that could technically be Hank Pym, but I don't think he was there. Because we didn't see him there at all.
Yeah. They could say that, but we know what you really are.
What?
A continuity error.
A continuity error. Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait for Ms. Marvel episode 2. Can't wait for it.
You know what song stuck in my head?
What song?
The Rogers musical song. No. What is it? No, the one from... Not even the Rogers musical. That's so embarrassing for me that I called it the wrong song. It's the one from Captain America.
The Star Spangled Man.
Yeah, Star Spangled Man.
Yeah, that was in this episode, which I'm like, love that.
And they were walking into the Avengers Count it was playing.
This has the potential to be my favorite thing in the MCU. If the quality stays there. And if the show is not rushed.
Mm-hmm.
And if
I thought the first episode was really well paced.
It was really well paced. I mean, in terms of episode 1, I think I might have liked this more than the Moon Knight premiere.
I agree.
I'll have to rewatch the Moon Knight episode, but the first episode of Moon Knight, but I think this first episode was delightful. I thought it was really charming. I thought It is better than it had any right being.
Right.
It shouldn't have been like what I thought I'd be seeing. I'm like, yeah, it's all right. It's all right. I'm excited for the next one, but I'm not dying to see the next one yet. I'm sure I'll be dying to see the next one after the boys tonight. But after that, I'll be dying to see the next episode of Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
I've fallen in love with this show.
It's really good.
I just don't want the finale to suck like the other finales have sucked.
Every single one.
They haven't all sucked. It's just...
they haven't been good.
These shows, what they have is it's like... If you want to structure like a movie, what you should do, and if you, for some reason, want to keep it 6 episodes, have the first episode be Act 1, have 3 and 4 be Act 2, have 5 and 6 be Act 3. But no, what they do is they have 4 episodes for Act 1, Episode 5 is Act 2, and Episode 6 is Act 3. And it's just rushed.
Yeah.
Like, the shows take so, so long to, like, actually, like, start. And this is the thing. I don't necessarily know what the show's about yet. I'll give it till next week, though.
I was really happy that they, like, showed the powers in the first episode, yeah. too.
Because, like, Moon Knight, at this point, we knew what the show was about.
Mm-hmm.
We knew the show was about. We knew the villain. And that's the other thing. I'm really scared they're going to introduce a new villain out of nowhere in the finale. Like, set up, like, MODOK or something. I don't want them to do that. I really don't want them to do that. But they might. Probably will.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you have any other thoughts on the Moon Knight, not the Moon Knight, on the Ms. Marvel episode?
I just thought it was really good.
Oh, no.
It exceeded my expectations.
We actually have some listener feedback to get to. From the boss, who's writing in to another Marvel podcast at Tuscan Radio, which is fun. All right, so the boss says, okay. Okay, watched Ms. Marvel. I never thought I'd say it, but I really enjoyed the first episode. I've also had a great discussion with some friends of mine who are into Marvel and Muslim. We have thoughts. And I'm like, okay, send those in, but the boss did not send those in. I'm like, I don't know if you've seen the boys watching that, and Ms. Marvel sent them, is super interesting. So we are going to do an episode for the boys season 3. I don't know if we'll do one this week, and we'll do 1 through 4, and then 5 through 8 next month, or if we'll do just the whole season at one time. But we are going to do the boys there. We want to talk about that on the show. But we do have other feedback here from the boss saying, I don't think I've smiled so much in an episode as I did with Ms. Marvel episode 1. Blew my expectations out of the water. The time flew by. I didn't mind the short length as it was packed. Only criticism, I found the powers too early. I actually thought this was a great length in episode. It was like 49 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is better than Kenobi's 38 minutes mm-hmm. that we got this week, which... give these episodes, like, 50-minute run times. Please do that. They work better. Stranger... like, you don't have to do it with Stranger Things, which is, like, an hour and 40 minutes per episode. But...
Stranger Things is so good.
This season was fantastic. I can't wait for July 1st. Okay, and the boss then said, been told by Marvel-loving Muslim friends that the representation was on point, bar a few issues, but they loved it. That tells me everything. Yeah, that's the other thing. Is, like, if these shows, like, really, like... I'm trying to figure out how to say this, but, like, if, like, the diversity part of it, like, the mental health stuff in Moon Knight, which, I mean, they didn't even say DID once that entire series.
It was heavily implied.
It was heavily implied, but they never once said dissociative identity disorder.
Yeah.
And, like, leading some idiots to think, maybe it's the variants.
Oh my god.
Maybe it's the variants.
Maybe they're getting... no, I was about to say a Stranger Things spoiler.
And the other thing with that is... they said... well, not said, but, like, heavily, like... well, no, they said that, like... Steven is not real.
Mm-hmm.
Steven is very much as...
well, they also said that he was created by Mark... to...
yeah, but it's implying that the host... it's implying that the host is the real one. Yes, that's what is on the birth certificate. But Stephen Grant and Jake Lockley are very much as part of Mark Spector as Mark Spector is. They're very much their own person.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I mean, the fact that it seems like... in terms of the Muslim representation here... And the fact that it seems like it's spot on, I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
The boss also sends in, I reckon we're going to be getting some history about Kamala's nani, mom, and the bangles. Bangles? Do you mean bracelets? Like, the mom knows they have power and, yeah, that means bracelets. And probably caused something bad to happen in the past. Well, we had that shot in the trailer that Michael and I talked about where you have, like, this like, field. And it looks like it's more, like, an ancient time. Let me see if I can pull it up. Let's go and pull up the Ms. Marvel trailer. All right. There is this one shot here where it looks like it's more in like these ancient times. Where is the shot? It's getting close. Because I do remember we talked about this on the show. It's like, well, maybe this has something to do with Ten Rings. Like, they could be like interconnected in some small way, hopefully. Like, I also, here it is. But like, there's this right here. This is clearly more like ancient, more ancient.
122.
Yes, it's that one, the timestamp on is 1 minute, 22 seconds into the trailer. But yeah, this, I do think there is going to be a flashback at some point about the bracelets. I think that is inevitable. So, yeah, I mean,
and there has to be, or else, I mean, I don't know. That would make no sense if I
watched. Yeah, it wouldn't make as much sense. Or any sense whatsoever. So, yeah, I mean, I have really nothing else on Ms. Marvel.
Neither do I.
No, we've been going for like an hour and 15 minutes now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love the episode. Can't wait for the next 5. Yeah, that's really gonna do it, guys. If the rumors are true, and we are gonna get Black Panther trailer on Friday, we are gonna be doing a breakdown for that. We're gonna be doing, also tomorrow, if you're watching Kenobi, we're gonna be doing Kenobi episode 4 review. I'm excited to do that. So yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Drew Gretch.
And I'm Alex Edwards.
Laters, gators.